The station master required all the weight of Cecilia's patronage to change his mind.
It's not the usual procedure at all. We have that procedure for a reason. We can't have idle ship crews roaming around the station getting into trouble.
They won't be. They'll be busy learning the new systems recently installed on this ship. During their shipboard rotation, they will have very little time to roam about. And if you insist, I can confine them to the ship, although I would prefer to allow them a moderate amount of time off. Lady Cecilia expressly requested that the crew be thoroughly trained. There had been incidents.
Yes, but we really don't have the facilities.
6 individuals at a time aboard. No more than 3 off ship.
Only 3?
Hera smiled to herself. She had won.
Yes. They'll be standing round-the-clock watches, and they have a lot of work to do. I would prefer, because of that, to let them get their meals on the station, rather than also detail a cook.
Oh, I see. Lady Cecilia's credit line.
Of course. The ship's account, with a limit.
She had to put on a limit, or both the station vendors and the crew would be likely to cheat.
I would suggest 30 a day per person.
I would not.
She haggled him down to 20. She had already called up the vendor ads and knew her people could eat well on 15. Next, she had to tell the crew. She did not expect much trouble, and they listened in respectful silence, although she noticed some sideways glances. The new members, who had never been to Hospitality Bay, were glad enough to rotate in and out. Those who were accustomed to idling away a planetary quartile on full pay might have complained, but remembered the departure of the pilot. Harris hoped some of them would decide to quit. She knew she could do better. When she called for volunteers for the first rotation, Sirkin and the newest crew members got their hands up first, exactly what she'd expected. She had planned shorter, more frequent rotations, over the protests of both Cecilia and the station master, on the grounds that unused skills quickly deteriorated. In fact, there were crew members she didn't want to leave in the ship too long. By the time they docked, Harris had the roster settled, and enough work planned to keep the standing watch alert. She had scattered her new and most trusted crew among each rotation, and hoped that would keep any remaining smuggler agents from doing whatever they might otherwise do. Then it was time to pack her own kit and prepare to accompany Lady Cecilia's entourage to the planet. Hera stopped for a moment and stared as she came out of the drop tube into the central area of the station.
You were right. I don't believe it.
The ornamental object in the middle had as many eye-teasing impossibilities as the station itself, and in addition offered the appearance of a stream of water flowing merrily uphill. That alone wouldn't have been upsetting. Everyone had seen inverse fountains or ridden inverse scare rides since the invention of small artificial gravity generators. But this one flowed uphill without a substrate, burbling from one visible guide channel to another through the empty air.
It's a hollow, right?
No, it's real in its own way. You can put your hand into it and find out.
Cecilia looked entirely too pleased with herself. Harris argued with her mind and her stomach and did not put her hand into the water. She was not going to ask how the illusion had been accomplished.
I can tell you won't ask, so I'll give you a hint. Spearlin membrane.
Harris was very glad she hadn't put her hand in. It could have been embarrassing. Spearlin membranes, suspended in water, increased surface tension dramatically. They were also highly adherent to human skin, which often reacted with the spearlin chemistry by fluorescing for days after the contact.
I see.
Harris looked around. This area of the station seemed to consist of gardens designed to the same weird standards as the station itself and the fountain. Steps, low walls, terraces with seating arrangements that argued visually with each other, that seemed determined to flow from angular to curved and back to angular, or in some cases, to suggest by forced perspective the incorrect size or distance. Planters suspended at unnerving angles, all full of strange plants, pruned to look like something else. When she looked up, Harris found herself staring into the canopy of another garden, looking down onto the heads of people walking along. She swayed, disoriented for a moment. Cecilia grabbed her arm.
That one is a hollow. I should have warned you, sorry. Almost no one looks up.
After that, Harris had no idea what kind of shuttle they would find in the bay. But although it was more luxurious than commercial or military models, it looked much the same on the outside, and brought them to the surface safely. Lady Cecilia's party had it to themselves. Lady Cecilia and Harris in the forward compartment, the young people in the main compartment, and Lady Cecilia's maid and a few other servants in the aft section. Once well down in the atmosphere, the cabin steward served a full dinner. By the time they landed, shortly before sunset, Harris had almost reconciled herself to being a passenger.
We hoped you'd be here for the first day, Lady Cecilia.
The gnarled little man met them at the entrance to the stable block. They had walked down from the main house, which Harris had barely seen the night before after the drive from the shuttleport, to a set of buildings that looked as large as the house. Pale yellow stone, trimmed with gray stone around windows and doors. A wide, high arch with metal gates folded back.
Things happen. Here, I want you to know Harris Serrano, my guest this year. She's a novice at hunting, but she's developing a decent seat.
Pleased, Mum.
Harris felt herself under inspection of some sort, though she wasn't sure what he was looking for.
Go on in. He'll be waiting for you.
Now you'll see.
They came out of the arched entrance into a wide bricked walk that lay between the rows of stalls and a low-fenced dirt enclosure. Beyond was another archway, across which Harris saw a horse and rider move at a trot in yet another enclosure.
Lady Cecilia!
It was clear from the rearrangement of wrinkles that this man's face seldom found such a smile. Lean, tanned, upright, brisk, this had to be the Neil who supervised all the training and the assignment of riders.
About time. I've held back two good prospects for you.
He glanced at Harris and dismissed her, waving for someone to bring a horse forward.
First, meet Harris Serrano. She's my guest this year, and I've been giving her preliminary instruction on the simulator.
He looked at Harris again, this time with attention, and then back at Cecilia.
With full programming?
What I use myself. She's a novice, but she's solid as far as she goes. She's taking meter jumps now, but it's only sim. She needs practice before she goes out in the field.
And you don't want me to treat her like a boneheaded kid who thinks he can ride because he once stuck on a horse at a gallop. Is that it? Do you think I couldn't recognize maturity?
No, but I want her to have a good experience. And I want you to supervise, not one of your assistants. Unless you've got better than last time.
They go away when they get too good.
His eyes measured Harris again.
Of course, size doesn't matter and all that. But I think to start her on something reasonable. 16?
Fine.
She has to show me in the ring that she has the basics. But I'll shift her to the outside course right away.
Thanks, Neil.
No problem.
He stared at Harris as if she had sprouted scales. Then he nodded sharply.
Bring me the bay mare in 17, size 16 saddle, and the egg butt snaffle. If Lady Cecilia says you're a promising novice, I'll believe it. Now that mare will give you the chance to show it. Honest, can jump, but not fast enough for the field. If you suit, you can use her here until you qualify. Now watch this, Cecilia.
A thin girl led up a horse that looked enormous to Harris. It was a brown so dark it looked black except in clear sun.
Is that what you got with the buccinator sperm?
Yep. Off the Kulross mares. Two of them. The other's a liver chestnut. This one's five, and before you say anything, I know I didn't show them to you last year. My lord said not to, because it's a surprise. You want to try them?
Harris could see the flush on Cecilia's cheek, the delight and eagerness that made her almost girlish.
Of course!
She was up in a flash, rising lightly to the hand that gave her a leg up. Harris had, by this time, seen her employer on many horses in the training cubes. She thought she knew how that long, lanky body, almost too stiff at times on the ground, would look astride. Cecilia looked better, as if she and the horse had fused into one.
Here, sir.
The gnarly man was back with a smaller brown horse for Harris. The man nodded at her, and she mounted without waiting for assistance.
Come on, the both of you. You'll need to warm up inside anyway.
Harris, on her first live horse since her time in the academy, found that coordinating the movement of legs and hands while the horse actually walked towards something, was harder than she expected. She liked the higher viewpoint, but wanted to spend it looking around, not steering. Ahead of her, on the dark horse, Cecilia seemed to be having no problems. Harris lined up behind her and hoped her horse would follow calmly while she tried to remember all the lessons. The inner training area, a walled oblong, offered fewer distractions. They walked to the right. Neil moved to the center, watching. Harris began to relax, letting her body discover the difference between the simulation and reality. It still felt strange. This was not a mechanical device or an electronic image. This was an animal, a live thing, that smelled like an animal and felt, when she dared touch the neck, like an animal. The horse was slowing down, she realized, because she wasn't giving enough signal with her legs. The simulation tended to keep a pace more easily. Cecilia had mentioned that some horses required more leg pressure. Harris increased it, and the horse's head came up, just like the VR image, and it walked faster.
Reverse!
Almost before she thought, Harris had shortened one rein, shifted her legs slightly, and the mare was turning smoothly to reverse directions. It worked. Of course, it had worked in the simulator, but it worked on a real horse, too. She felt better.
Maybe everything will work on the real horse.
She looked over at Cecilia, across the circle. Her employer did not look anywhere near her actual age on that horse. She could have been Harris's age, or even younger.
Pick up a nice trot, no?
Trotting felt completely different from the simulator. She was off balance at first, and she sensed Neil's disapproval. It took her an entire circuit of the ring to figure out what was wrong. Her ship-trained sense of balance had worked on the simulator because it wasn't going anywhere relative to the ship, but the horse was going somewhere on the ground. If she leaned forward a bit more, she experimented, suddenly the movement felt right. Cecilia was right. It could feel like dancing. With that experience to draw on, she was prepared for the difference in the feel of the canter and compensated within a few bounds. The rush of cold air on her face was exhilarating. She didn't want to stop.
She'll do, Cecilia. All right, Captain. Back to a walk now, and bring her into the center. You can watch Lady Cecilia.
Harris slowed, remembering to brace her back, and guided the mare to near Neil. Cecilia's horse was walking again. Harris tried to notice the things she'd been taught to notice, but what struck her most was the horse's size. Even from up here, it looked big. When Harris had settled the mare in a halt, Cecilia nudged her mount to a trot. She hadn't waited for Neil's signal, Harris noticed. Watching the big horse trot, she wondered why Cecilia hadn't overtaken her. It moved so much faster. Cecilia slowed it again. Its neck arched and its steps shortened. Then it stretched, then compressed again. Harris was fascinated.
Let's try you both on a few fences.
Neil led the way out of that ring into another, where four small jumps were set up.
You first, Captain. Just pick up a trot and take the little white one.
Harris collected the mare, pushed her into a trot, and approached the first jump. It seemed to stay in place while she moved, while the simulator had given the illusion of the jump shifting toward her. Even as she thought this, the mare rose to the jump and Harris leaned into it. It felt the same, though. She turned the mare around, awaiting orders.
Now try these two.
That, too, went smoothly. She felt steady and safe, but she knew the jumps were small. She trotted over all four, then cantered over a pair. An in and out, he called it. Several husky youths appeared and moved the jumps around. Again, she jumped, first at a trot and then a canter, first one way, then the other, as the fence crew changed distances and heights. Neil said nothing about her performance until it was over, when he waved her over to him.
Lady Cecilia's right. You're a solid novice. We'll see later what you do in the open. Walk her in circles down there.
He pointed to the far end of the enclosure. Now it was Lady Cecilia's turn. The big dark horse poured over the jumps at a trot, hardly seeming to lift itself. The jumps were raised, the distances changed. Cecilia had explained the reasons, but even the simulator had not made it clear to Harris just what these changes demanded from a live animal. She watched the dark horse arch, lifting its knees high as the jumps came up. She watched it compress and lengthen as the jumps were placed closer together or farther apart. And Cecilia, whom she had once considered a rich old eccentric, Cecilia flowed with the horse, a part of it. When they were through, they walked back up to the house together. Cecilia had told Neil she would come back later to ride the other horse. Harris looked around her, more at ease than before. Like the house itself, all the surrounding buildings were either built of stone or faced with it. Most had stone or tile roofs as well. It looked remarkably like the cube of old Earth Europe.
I suppose it's like the old parts of the Academy. Nostalgia or something.
And economy here. You have to remember when this was settled, a bare 2 centuries ago. Bunny's ancestors had money, yes, but it was far cheaper to import workers to build with local stone than to import an entire factory to create conventional materials. I suspect that the first ones simply copied designs from old books, and then it began to look old earthish, and if someone teased them, well, that would have done it. They'd have insisted it was intentional.
They walked around a circular tub planted with brilliant red flowers.
Of course, it had all the usual comforts from the beginning. They didn't start out to build historical reproductions.
But what about the horses? Have they always had horses here?
Probably. Colonial worlds usually have horses. They're cheap local transportation, self-replacing. Horse-based agriculture, too. Have you visited many worlds in the early stages of settlement?
No, not on the surface. Except for leave, I've spent my time in ships or offices.
Well, most import draft animals. Which ones depends in part on the world itself and in part on the settlers. The dominant draft animal can be equine, bovine, or camelid.
Camels?
And llamas. Have you ever seen camels?
No.
I haven't either, except in illustrations. One early Old Earth breed of horse was used in the same culture that also had camels. Ugly beasts with humped backs. It was said that they could be ridden, but I don't see how.
Harris didn't even want to think how.
The Serrano Legacy Hunting Party is continued on the next CD.